لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Honorable, respectable elders, scholars, brothers, young friends, mothers and sisters listening at home, we have a few days that remain from the month of Ramadan. And truly, when we contemplate the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to Ramadan and the month of the fasting, we can truly appreciate these words where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and makes mention that ayyaman ma'dudat, a few days which can be counted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this blessed month and gave us this blessed month with the purpose of fasting so that we can inculcate within ourselves the quality of the consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ability to refrain from displeasing Him. And in this month, we have done many, many good deeds. We have fasted from pre-dawn until sunset. We have recited the Quran. We have made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have specially and especially turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than we would do so in the 11 months. And this has only happened because of the grace and the mercy and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be first and foremost grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given us this opportunity and this ability and given us the chance to witness this blessed month of Ramadan. And in this month, and the month continues, and we make mention at this point that there are still around 4 to 5 days of the month of Ramadan remaining. So we exert even more effort in these 4 to 5 days to try and acquire the most or the maximum benefit from this month. And this is something that we try to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ultimately to gain the quality of taqwa. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we're able to maximize our good deeds in these next 4 to 5 days. And that we push ourselves to do as much good deeds as we can. Because we know that in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the reward for the good deeds that we do. And in relation to this, many of the good habits that we have become accustomed to over these 29, 30 days, it's for our benefit that we maintain these good habits and we increase upon these good habits. And one of the ways that we need to increase in these good habits is that we think about how we can acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain actions obligatory, farad. And then there are certain actions which are wajib, necessary. And then there are certain actions which are sunnah, which was the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now as true believers, we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever anybody does the bare minimum, then generally the output or the gain that he's going to get is going to be very less. So similarly, when a person will just do the fara'id, the obligatory actions, then he won't get the same benefit as a person who does the fara'id, the wajibat, the sunan, the nawafil, the mustahabbat. So in the month of Ramadan, many of us will do actions which will be from the mustahabbat and the nawafil, which are optional. And when the month of Ramadan finishes, then unfortunately many of us will go by the wayside and let these actions go by the wayside. And we think, oh, that was for the month of Ramadan. But we can't allow that to happen. Because we need to improve on a monthly basis, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And the only way we can do that is if our mindset is based upon the fact that we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate goal for the believer is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do those things which are going to lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look into the Quran and the verses of the Quran, we see that one of the most effective ways that a person can gain the divine, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and acquire the love and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That say, O Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you love Allah, then follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. So as believers, our aim is to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many virtues in regards to bringing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life. So we are going to do the farad act. We make an intention that just like in the month of Ramadan, we have performed our 5-time salah with jama'ah. We have made sure that we perform our witr and we perform it with jama'ah. And then in terms of the sunnah, which is of tarawih salah, we have performed that as well. We have recited the Quran. We have done many, many good deeds that we don't normally do outside of the month of Ramadan. The same way, we are going to improve and increase the number of sunan, or the number of the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within our life. And this is an intention that we should all make, a strong intention, a firm intention, that as we come towards the culmination of the month of Ramadan, I want to be a person who is following and increasing upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because ultimately, that is what is going to bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that whoever revives a sunnah at the time when there is a degeneration within the ummah, he will get the reward of 100 martyrs. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person who revives the sunnah from my sunan, and it's at the time when it's long forgotten, قَدْ أُمِيتَتْ, long forgotten, then he will get the reward of the person that makes amal on this sunnah. So every person that follows in his footstep, he will get the reward of this person. At the same time, there will be no decrease in anybody's reward. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver. He can give however much he wants. So ultimately, in terms of understanding why bringing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life is so important, sometimes we focus on a certain level of convenience. This is convenient for me, so therefore I'm going to do this action. When there is another action which is in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sometimes it's justified, a person is ill, a person has certain conditions, then there are certain situations where it's understandable and it's justified. But just for convenience, that okay, my convenience, then at that moment, a person needs to contemplate that ultimately the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in bringing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into my life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that individual who has done so much for us, if we look into his life, the sacrifices that he made, the way he lived, for the benefit of the ummah, the way he remembered us, and the way he showed us how to live, the way he explained to us, not just through words, but through actions in terms of how we should live our life. And we all have some love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this love increases when we learn about him and when we ponder upon his life from the beginning to the end. When we ponder upon his life, we see how many sacrifices he made for us. And ultimately, this is what we need to focus on. Because ultimately, like I'm reiterating the point, that the love and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us when we follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we say, oh, it's only a sunnah. Na'udhu billah. It's only a sunnah. Not realizing that the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way is the way to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to become Allah's beloved. Then it doesn't just become a sunnah. It becomes an important act which leads to a person gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who knows that on the Yawmul Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at us favorably because of us just trying to follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ultimately, if we bring the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life, it will pass on to our generations. Many of us, when we have children, before we have children, we are a little bit carefree. We, you know, live our life. Salah sometimes, sometimes not. But many people, we have seen that many people, as soon as a child is born, then this responsibility dawns upon the person, and they start to perform their 5 times salah, and they start to read Bismillah before eating, and before going to the bathroom, they start to recite the dua, and they do many good deeds. Why? Many of these actions which they weren't doing before, because they feel that, now I have a child. I have this responsibility. I have this huge load on myself to do the tarbiyah and nurturing of this child. So automatically, the child becomes a source of blessing in more than one way. But this child then makes the person aware that I need to change my life. If I don't do the good deeds, then how will my child know? So similarly, in terms of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we bring them into our life, and we start practicing upon the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will lead to our children understanding that this is something which is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in regards to this, we know, and many of you may have seen, that we have kept the Eid Salah early. We have kept the Eid Salah at an early time of around 6:35. There are a few reasons, primarily the reason being, this is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Amr ibn Hazm radiyallahu an was the Amir of Najran, he sent a message to him and he told him that read the Eid Salah early and delay the Eid Salah slightly for Eid al-Fitr and read it early for Eid al-Adha. And he explained the reason. He said that so that the Sadaqatul Fitr can be given and the money can reach the poor. So if you delay slightly, then the money can be given before the Eid Salah. Because we know that Sadaqatul Fitr is wajib on that person, every person who is a sane person and has the amount of wealth which is, you know, for the basic needs and has the nisab. The nisab being 600 and something grams of silver. So that person has to discharge the Sadaqatul Fitr. And then that person also, it's necessary for him to discharge it on behalf of his children. If they have wealth, then he can take it out from their wealth. If not, then he can give it himself. And the amount is, the minimum amount is around £4 to £4.50. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi, and a person can give more as well. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this to Amr ibn Hazm. So based on this, we have decided that with mashwara, with consultation, that we try to bring this sunnah from the masjid. That how can we make this a sunnah from the masjid? Yes, generally we know that our perception, and for many years and most of the masajid will have the Eid Salah 8 o'clock, half 8, which is fine. There is room for that as well. Like we mentioned in the beginning, that if there is a reason, then that's fine. But in accordance to the sunnah, it's to do it as quickly as possible. So we want to bring this sunnah from the masjid and we want to inform and educate. Sometimes, you know, but my convenience, like I can go to sleep, then I can wake up, have a shower, and then, you know, I can come for this time and I'll have a nice sleep and rest. But like we said in the beginning, ultimately, if we want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there may be a concept of, okay, we all need to have showers and all of these things. There are a few people in the house. But if we plan, then we can do it. The reality is that if we make a plan, okay, throughout the month of Ramadan, we have been getting up at the early time. Fajr is at 4:30, 4:40. On that day, it'll be at the later time of 5:55, 5:50. So we can get ready before Fajr, just like we've been getting up early. And then we can come to the masjid, and we can bring our children if we want to. And we can explain to them that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to perform Eid Salah early. Because this is how we are going to revive the sunnah. This is how we are going to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we are going to gain unity and rahmah and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other thing is that a scholar mentioned, a senior scholar within our community, he mentioned to me that just recently, that when we were speaking about doing it early, that first thing was that at least a few masajid should have it early within the community. Yes, there should be some facility for those individuals who have some kind of disability or some other excuse that they go to other masajid at later times. Yes, that's fine. But there should be many of the masajid that have this time. And then in terms of Fajr Salah on Eid day, the night is Laylatul Ja'izah, the night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. And this night, many of us become neglectful. That, oh, the month of Ramadan is over, tomorrow is Eid. Tomorrow is a day of happiness. And we forget that as Muslims, the day of happiness for is more worship, more turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more dua. So on a day where, if the Eid Salah is later on, and to get up for Fajr Salah at 5:55, then go back to sleep and wake up, is more difficult than to get up one time, pray Fajr Salah with Jama'ah, and thereafter, stay in the masjid. Read Yasin. There's no ishraq on that day. Read Yasin. There'll be a small talk. 6:35, within 40 minutes is the Eid Salah commences. And within an hour, we are out. And we can stay in the masjid if we want to for a little while. But we conclude everything within an hour and 10 minutes. How much blessing is there in that, that we are spending the early hours of the day of Eid day in the masjid. And we are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was just a mention in terms of the understanding behind. Sometimes, you know, many people, they have opinions and they have views on certain things. And with all, you know, respectfully, it's true that these are views and these are, opinions that people can have. But when it comes to deen, we are dictated by not our whims and desires. We are dictated by the Quran and Sunnah. That whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have deemed to be correct or the best way, that's what we do. Even if it's against our whims and desires. That is the whole point of being a Muslim. Someone who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all Muslim, we are all believers. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes our nafs will tell us that no, but this point, there's this point as well. Oh, but then this point as well. The Hafiz should pray more quickly in Taraweeh Salah. Not realizing that, but the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being recited and this Hafiz is capable to pray at this speed correctly and not change the meaning of anything or not read any letter incorrectly. We are thinking, no, but he should read faster. So he's trying his best. So we need to understand that when we are making an opinion, number one, are we qualified to make the opinion? Number two, does my opinion hold any weight? Based on the fact that, do I have knowledge? And then number three, if my opinion is incorrect or not in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, do I have the ability and capability to say to myself, yes, this is correct. This is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, I'm going to try my best to follow this Sunnah. And if I am unable to, then I'm going to at least have in my mind that I want to follow this Sunnah, but for this reason I'm unable to, or for this reason I'm unable to. And we suggest that on this day as well, on Eid day, we come early to the masjid, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and make us from those who have been freed from the fire of Jahannam in the whole month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and the capability to create unity within our communities. Many a times, you know, it's very important to explain this, many a times we hear whispers within the community, within the masjid. So to be in the position that we are in, that we hear that, oh, so-and-so has said this and so-and-so has said this. The reality is that this just creates a certain level of fitna. One person is talking to another person that, oh, this is the one. If we have a genuine question, then we as the imams are open to come and speak to us. The environment is different. We are approachable. Come and speak to us that this is something that I've seen or this is something that's playing on my mind. There's no point in discussing with other people that, okay, so-and-so person I'll tell and then basically that becomes then political. That's what politicians do. They go and they canvass and they lobby so-and-so group, and they lobby so-and-so group, and they create a force. We want to create unity within the ummah. At the time when our brothers and sisters in Palestine are in need of unity, how is it that we are able to then, you know, create disunity within our community without even realizing? And sometimes it's done out of neglectfulness and we don't have that intention. I'm not saying that someone has an intention to create disunity. We see the pictures, their iftar, the orphans that are there. We know about this.
And we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes because of the way that we live, we're disconnected in the sense that the people in Palestine are living their life, and you know, this happening to them, we feel for them. But my actions are my actions. No, our actions play a role. We want to create unity. Just like when it was mentioned, you know, we start our salah. And there are individuals that are starting their salah pockets. One person is standing there, one person is standing there, because it's comfortable for them. This is my position, I have reserved it. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictate in regards to the saf. And the rule is, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand, he would say, fill the gaps, stand shoulder to shoulder. The time of COVID is gone. And there was a reason for that. Why? Because number one, if a person doesn't stand shoulder to shoulder, it creates disunity within the community. And number two, shaitan is able to penetrate the gaps. So me, if I am standing in one corner, and this is again, which we have been told, I don't know specific individuals, but we have that responsibility to create that unity by standing in the rows. So we may think, no, but I'm standing here because it's comfortable for me. It's the perfect temperature is here for me. Not realizing that we are actually contributing to the disunity of the ummah. And it may seem a bit harsh that I am saying this, but it comes from the bottom of my heart that when we, and genuinely, if we feel the plight of the brothers and sisters in Palestine, like was mentioned before Taraweeh that day, then genuinely our ego, will stand on our ego. We'll say, no. This is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to positively contribute to the ummah, and the plight of the ummah can change by my actions because Allah is in control. Therefore, I am going to do this. Irrespective of the fact that my nafs is telling me stand here. But we all have, myself included, egos that are huge. So like I said before, I'm not speaking to anybody individually. I'm speaking on a community level, on the ummah level. And if anybody has any concerns in regards to what's going on in the masjid or what they want or what, you know, and we have, mashallah, mashwiras and consultations. So everything is done with consultation, with scholars, with the management as well. Then approach us and come to us and ask us. And we can, inshallah, have a discussion. And we can explain within the light of, in the light of the Quran and Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us individuals that positively contribute to the ummah. We are standing, we make dua. We are standing, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us those individuals that on the day of Qiyamah, the Palestinian brothers and sisters that are there, they are proud of us because we did something positively for them and their plight changed. Quran Khatam is also going to happen on Sunday. That time as well, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These last few days as well, we make the most of the time. And again, I reiterate, if there are any concerns, any issues, please do not whisper amongst ourselves. Come and speak to us directly. And then inshallah, we can have a discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and assist us and unite us. Ameen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
اللهم البحث. Are requested to make the sufuf. whilst they pay their sunnah, so we can promptly start salah.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alal falah. Hayya 'alal falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah alladhi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa dinil haqqi liyudhhirahu 'ala ad-dini kullih. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu wa safiyuhu wa khaliluhu. Arsalahu rabbuhu hudan wa rahmah. وأنزل عليه الكتاب والحكمة. أما بعد، فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى، وراقبوه في السر والنجوى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته، ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. جعل الله سبحانه طاعة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من طاعته، لأنه هو الذي أرسله بما يأمر به، فقال تعالى: من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أطاعني فقد أطاع الله، ومن عصاني فقد عصى الله. أقول قولي هذا، وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أيها الناس، اتقوا الله تعالى. قال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا. وقال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد البشير النذير والسراج المنير، وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن سائر الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداء الدين، وانصر عبادك الموحدين. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان، خصوصا في فلسطين وفي الصين وفي باكستان وفي كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا إنك عفو كريم رحيم، تحب العفو فاعف عنا، تحب العفو فاعف عنا، تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم تقبل صيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتلاوتنا في آناء الليل وآناء النهار يا أرحم الراحمين، برحمتك نستغيث. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله، عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله، عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر. لا
No, no. Brothers are requested to stand shoulder to shoulder, fill in all the gaps, and complete the rows. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله